Hallelujah. All right. It's fun. Does God talking to you every day? It's fun. He does. He talks to you every day. Even if you're not listening, he still is. So the answer is yes. Did you hear him? That's another question. But he is talking. He loves fellowship. Let's see. I know I had a few things written down. I thought this was interesting. I don't know why I'd never thought of this before, but God did not create religion. He created a covenant. So it's like, why do we have so many religions? We don't need religion. We have a covenant. That's what we have with God. This was kind of also Jesus does it all. He always intended to do it all. We are just returning to the original design. So it's when Adam and Eve sinned, it didn't really slow down God's deal. It just slowed down us being where we needed to be. God's deal was already going to happen, and it wasn't going to stop it. And then Jesus came and he reset it all, and now we're back to where we need to be. Let's see. Is Jesus' leadership always good? And that's a tough one because our flesh would go, well, sometimes he doesn't do what I want. Sometimes I prayed for this and he gave me that. Or, you know, it's like Jesus' leadership is always good. It's always good 100% of the time. And this isn't always true, but this is a lot of time true. When someone's hurting, the church will often put on more law. They'll say, you need to repent. All comes from the stems I was studying in Job. The church will just go, something wrong with you. You need to find Jesus. That you need to repent, brother. Something's going on that you need to find out. You know, this is not the way God works. When someone's hurting, God comforts them. So we, as a church, we need to know when someone's hurting. I think I've mentioned this in the past. What God is showing me is to look past the person. So if a person is hurting or if a person is yelling at me, I have to look past. Don't take what they're doing to me personal. Mm-hmm. That's what God doesn't do that. We yell at God. God's not taking it personal. He knows what our problem is. So we need to see how God sees them and say, you know, how can I help this problem that's causing this reaction? Because God designed us to always be happy. And so if we're not happy, then there's something causing it. And we need to find out what that is. It's the devil. It's the devil lying to us. Our own stupidity for believing the devil. Like, remember, the devil's a liar. That's his only job, is to deceive us, to keep us from what God wants for us. That's his only job. And he's not even very good at it. Not original. The sad thing is we always fall for the same dumb thing that he does over and over again. You're like, man, I should have seen that one coming. That was the same dumb thing you used last time. God does not want you to obey him out of fear or duty. He doesn't even want you to obey him out of love. He wants you to obey him because you're in love. So a lot of times Christians do things out of fear. God's going to do this. Or if I don't do this, like I talked to a fellow one time who had a business, and he says, if I don't do right, God won't bless me. I said, that's a lie. I said, God will bless you whether you sin or don't, because you sin every day anyways, and God still blesses you because I can see it. I said, so God doesn't want you to obey him out of fear. He doesn't want you to obey him because it's right. The Bible says it, so it's right. Or even love, because we do things out of love. We go, well, I love that person, so I should do that. But that's, again, that's just you doing it because it's the right thing to do. You do things because you're in love. When you're in love with God, you just do things for God and for people, and you don't even think about, how is this hurting me? How is this blessing me? You're not even thinking about you. You're just thinking, I am so in love with God. I just want to do everything that he wants me to do. And you don't even care about the consequences or the whatever you need to do. So anyway, hallelujah. You have to understand that all the love you have comes from God. It's God's perfect love. You do nothing. I always say this when I'm driving, so I'm not looking at what I'm writing. So if it comes out weird, it's because I didn't reread it. This was fun. Okay, so God gives us love to give to Him, and I was like, God, well, what's an analogy for that? It's like you go to somebody's birthday party and they hand you a gift, and they go, "Can you give this gift back to me?" It's like you went to the party and they already provided the gift for you to give to them. And so it's like God giving us love and goes, "Hey, can you love me with the love that I just gave you to love me with?" And it's like, we didn't even have to do it. We can't. We don't have it in us. It's not in us to do. So it's like, it's awesome. It's so easy. It's easy. You just show up and God gives you everything you need to do everything He wants you to do. So it's awesome. Remember, God said, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Because He's already done it all. And it's like, we just have to. So, all right, I'll save some of these for the next time. Oh, no, this was a fun one. It's totally dumb. This is in my mind. But earth is like a courtship or dating. So, and then heaven is like the marriage. So it's like, we're just here getting to know God. And we're dating Him and we're courting Him. And then when we die and go to heaven. Or actually become alive and go to heaven. It's marriage. So it's like, I don't know. That was a dumb thought, but I thought it was fun. It's just, that was me. That was not from the Bible.
It is in the Bible.
It probably.
Yeah, because what's the word? You guys remember the word for when Jesus...
Married separate the lamb?
No. Well, not too, but...
Chesed?
No, when Joseph and Mary were...
Oh, she was an Alma in betrothed. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're betrothed right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're dating. We're dating Jesus. John chapter 12. So Jesus had just, it was funny because Jesus had just brought Lazarus back from the dead. It was funny because Martha said, "God, Jesus, you can do anything. You just ask God and you can do it." And he's like, "Well, I can bring him back from the dead." She's like, "Yeah, I know. You know, in the end, when we all come back," he's like, "You just had enough faith to say that you can do anything." He's like, so it's fun because that right there alone shows you. I went and prayed for that person, and I don't know if I, you know, I know that God can do it, but will He do it? It's like it doesn't matter. It doesn't, if it's God's will, it's going to happen, even if we don't have the perfect faith, because people will go, "Well, you didn't get healed because you didn't have enough faith." It's like, no, Jesus said mustard seed. And I don't know if you guys know how small a mustard seed is. It's smaller than a grain of sand. It's tiny. If you have that much faith, I mean, you had that much faith to say, "Jesus, I trust you. I want you to save me." If you had that much faith, then you have enough faith to move a mountain. It's like, I mean, so hallelujah. We went on a, Mary's parents came into town and we went on a trip and everything went wrong. It was supposed to be restful. It was not restful at all. We got 2 hours out of town and we decided to stop for lunch and then the vehicle wouldn't start. We were like, okay, hallelujah. And then we got to the next place and there was a snake in the house. It was a hog snake. If you don't know what that is, it's fascinating. They puff up like a cobra and they stand up like they're a cobra. And you're like, "What is that?" But they're actually very docile. They're very docile snakes. So just so you know. and then we finally got to our final destination. And there was a small hurricane and it knocked out the power for almost an entire day. We're like, "God, are you trying to tell us something?" So it was good. It was good though. But you know, you're there with family and that's what's, it's good. Life is not easy. We want it to be. And it's not. And I think as soon as you realize that and you realize, well, God just bless me in the hardness of this because, you know, I said to somebody the other day, I said, well, I guess I'll just rest when I'm dead. And he's like, yeah, that sounds about right. Because just life just keeps going and it doesn't slow down and it doesn't care that you're tired or whatever. It's just like, here I am. Let's keep going. And you're like, praise God. This is awesome. So God has to sustain us. Yeah. And he will. Just ask, hey, God. Something I keep hearing is just like, knock and knock often and keep knocking. I mean, my daughter does that. It's annoying as all get out. But we finally give in. We're like, just if you be quiet, yes. We don't always give in. Sometimes she gets spankings. So, but it's like, that's God wants us to be that. He wants us, he said, you know, tell him exactly what you want. I don't think we do that because I don't know if we always expect him to answer it because, you know, there are times when you pray and he doesn't answer it. You go, God, why didn't you answer that? It's because he had a plan. He already had a plan. But it doesn't matter. You still should ask. You still should ask, God, this is what I want. This is my desire. This is what's on my heart. And he'll bless you. He'll bless you. And either in the way you want or in a better way. So he'll never give you worse. You know, you don't ask for bread and he gives you a stone. You don't ask for, you know, an egg and he gives you a scorpion. He's always going to, that, you know, the Bible says, you know, if an earthly father can give good gifts to his kids, how much more is the heavenly father who, you know, loves us going to give us good gifts? So, all right, John chapter 12, enough pre-sermon. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus, who had died, whom he had raised from the dead. And they made him supper there, and Martha served. And Lazarus was one of those reclining with him. So, I mean, I don't know. I had this idea that, you know, if one day, you know, if my dad were raised from the dead, what would he do about, like, his Social Security number and all that kind of stuff? How do you explain that to the government? You know, it's like, this guy was dead. They already declared him dead. He was put him in the stone. He was gone. You know, I mean, what do you do now? I mean, you're back alive. That's not supposed to happen. And you know, things happen. There's a chain of events. The other guy's dead, so all this gets written into history, but now he's not. It's like, and here he is. He's just hanging out with Jesus, laying on the couch. Hey, I was dead. Now I'm talking. Then taking a pound of ointment of pure, let's see. Then taking a pound of ointment of pure, costly spikenard, Mary anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped off his feet with her hairs. And the house was filled with the odor of ointment. And this is something that I've started to see in the scriptures. Is God loves fragrance. Mm-hmm. It's weird. I mean, like in the temple, what do they do? What did they burn? They burned incense. God likes good smell. I mean, he created this entire world and it's got things that smell good and taste good. He's into that.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
You know, we're a precious, I mean, if you read the Song of Songs, we're a precious fragrance to him. And we're like, oh man, I hope I shower today. But he's not talking about the way our body smells. He's talking about our heart. When my child does something, when she'll say, I love you, Daddy. Oh my gosh, that just destroys you. Yeah. It's so precious. It's a fragrance to me. Not literally, but it's awesome. And that's the way God is. You know, my child doesn't have perfect love for me. She's going to sin. She has a will. Gosh, she has her own will. And she has to be broken because she is strong, but she loves me. You know, it's funny. I can spank her and she can cry and then we'll go sit on the couch and snuggle and watch some, you know, educational show. And she's just snuggled with me and I just spanked her. It's like, how? I mean, you should be hating me right now, but that's the way, I mean, that's good. When God does that, when God rebukes us, it's the crazy thing is when God rebukes us, it's never harsh. It's always like, yeah, I deserve that. And I deserve worse. Right. And you just, that was so gentle. Yeah. That was so gentle and so loving. It's good. Then Simon's son, Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples whom was about to betray him said, of course it's Simon, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? You think he really wanted it sold, given to the poor? We don't know. We don't know his heart, but I don't know. I just think that seems, he might have then, because remember Jesus was about to fulfill the law. When he died, he's going to fulfill the law. I didn't come to destroy the law. You know, they thought Jesus was coming to change the whole program. No, I'm coming to set it straight. I'm coming to fulfill the law. And so Judas was still living under the law. He didn't understand who Jesus was totally. He saw what was going on and he wanted to be part of it, but he didn't understand who Jesus was. Jesus came to fulfill the law because we couldn't. So him wanting to sell it and give it to the poor, that's just him being a good Jew, you know, that you live under the law. The law says to do this. You know, remember Jesus said, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The laws are all supposed to bless man. Laws, if a law doesn't bless man, it's not a good law and you should get rid of it. Laws are supposed to protect and bless. That's the whole point of them. And given to the poor. But he said this, not that he was caring for the poor, but because he was a thief. So they're right there. We find out his true heart. So it would be hard. I mean, because we could think, well, I would never be Judas. And you're like, ah, you've had those thoughts. You always got to put yourself in the bad guy's spot. We always want to be the hero, but a lot of times we're the bad guy. And that's why, that's good, because when you know you're the bad guy, then you know you need God. And when you need God, then you can stop. You go, God, my dad would always say this, and I took this to heart. The faster you give up, the sooner you can die and then be useful. It's just die quick. just, all right, you're right. I'm, you know, and that's the same way. Like, when somebody accuses you of something, just, whew, yep, you're right. I got it. You know, whatever. And you don't have to defend yourself. Let God defend you. You know, if you were unjustly accused, God will rectify that. Don't worry about it. So, and he held the money bag and carried away the things being put in it. Then Jesus said, allow her, for she has kept it for the day of my burial. And for you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. I always think of that when people are always like, well, we're going to, in the cities, they'll be like, we're going to get rid of the poor. You know, it's like, no, you're always going to, there's too many variables in this world. And people always think they can solve all the problems and they can solve it by force. It's like, no, you can't. You're always going to have poor people. You're always going to have grumpy people. You're always going to have, you know, people who are violent, and you can't do away with that. It's just part of who their makeup is. Now, the best way to do it is to witness to them, to be salt and light. Monty and Jackie and Monty's mom, Judy, they go and they're going and spending time with the homeless people every weekend. Wow. I would hate that.
Dave, he said like usually there's like 5 to 8 people there. And
yeah.
He said last week there was 20-something.
20-something people. Wow. And people are, every week, people are getting saved and falling in love with Jesus. Because those people are on the, they're it. They're hit bottom. They got nothing left. I mean, if you got nothing left, then yeah, let's try this Jesus thing. I mean, that's it. That's where you got to get to. You got to get to that point where there's nothing left. You don't have anything. And then you get Jesus, and then you have everything. The whole scripture about the rich man and the poor man isn't about rich and poor. It's about a man who has nothing and can't do anything for himself, and a man who has everything and can fix his own problems. The poor man goes, I need God. The rich man says, I can take care of it myself. So it doesn't have anything to do with circumstance. It has to do with where do you put your trust? Then a great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there. And they did not come because of Jesus alone, but that they also might see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. That would be something to see. Right. If my dad showed up, that'd be something to see.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be crazy. They want to see that. You know, so they didn't come just see Jesus. They came to see, did this guy really raise from the dead? They knew it. They saw him. They saw him being put in the dirt. The guy was dead. And they saw him being raised from the dead. That's insane. That just doesn't happen. I mean, it does, because we have a God, and God can do. When God has a plan for you, it doesn't matter if you're dead, he can raise you from the dead to do whatever plan he had for you. So, but the chief priests took counsel that they might put Lazarus to death also. He's like, well, he just got raised from the dead. Because through him, many of the Jews went away and believed into Jesus. Why? Why do they have a problem with this? It's like, the guy just raised a man from the dead. How is that bad? And they're like, man, we gotta. Not only do we have to get rid of this Jesus guy, we have to get rid of the evidence. We have to take care of Lazarus too. It's like, how much hate do you have to have in you? It's like, it's religion. It is religion. You know, God, what did I say at the beginning? He created a covenant, not a religion. You know, because their religion was their God. God wasn't their God. Because if they had known who God was, it would have made sense to them. And they would have been glorifying God instead of being, hey, he's trying to destroy our religion. It's like, you don't understand who God is. Because through him, many of the Jews, and they believed unto Jesus. And on the morrow, coming to the feast, hearing that Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, a great crowd took palm branches and went out to a meeting with him and were crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he coming in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And finding an ass colt, Jesus sat on it, even as it had been written, Do not fear, daughter of Zion. Behold, the King comes sitting on the foal of an ass. So, remember, this is also, there's a group of people, they've seen miracles, and they're excited, and they think, who's coming? They think Jesus is coming, but they don't think it's Jesus going to save your sins, Jesus. They think it's Jesus going to take care of the Romans, Jesus. And so that's why they're excited. They're like, man, the bad guys are going to get it. So they're not excited because Jesus is coming and he's going to do good for them. He's excited because he's going to destroy the Romans. We're going to be on top, finally. Again, they miss God's point. It's relationship. God wants a relationship with us. He's not interested in this world. This world is our courtship. You know, we're here. We're dating Jesus. Learn who God is and then spend eternity with him. But they miss the point. But that's okay. But his disciples did not know these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they recalled that these things had been written on him. Do you guys have ever had that happen? You're like, you don't quite understand something. And then something happens later and you're like, oh, that makes total sense. Thank you, God, for showing me that. I didn't understand and now I do. It's good. Or, you know, you'll have a question and then God will bring someone in your path and they'll say something and you're like, that was the question I had. And God used that person to answer it. That was awesome. And they did these things to him. Let's see. Then the crowd, which was with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, witnessed. Because of this, also the crowd met him because it heard of this miracle and he had done. And the Pharisees said to themselves, "Observe that you will gain nothing. Behold, the world has gone after him." So again, they're worried about it. I mean, Dad would say their lunch program. You know, their whole thing has fallen apart. But there were some in those groups that knew, because they were seeking God. They were, even though they were in those groups, they desired to know God, and they saw. But a lot of them didn't. And there were some among some Greeks among those coming up that they might worship at the feast. Then these came to Philip, the one from Bethesda of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we desire to see Jesus." And Philip came and told Andrew, and again... and then Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Truly I say unto you, unless a grain of wheat that falls into the earth dies, and it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit." Okay. It does. So, it's good. When do you start bearing fruit?
When we die.
When you die. Yeah, and I don't mean physically. I mean when you die to yourself. I mean, because when you're not interested in you, then you can, man, you're going to, God can use you in mighty ways because you've taken you out of the picture. Because we're selfish and we're fearful and we're, you know, it's just part of us. But when you die, then that stuff doesn't matter anymore. You see the truth. You see, Clay gave me a CD and it was Dad. He was talking on Job, and it was the one verse that stuck out to me was Job said, "If you slay me, even then I will trust you." It's like, man, that's how dead you have to be. God, I trust you no matter what. Even if you kill me, I trust that you were doing what was best for me. So you have to be at that point in your life. And that can't be a work, though. That, again, that has to be a heart thing. Because a lot of times people will say the right things, but their heart's not in the right place. But I know you guys are here because your heart is in the right place. Because this church it's a weird church, you know. It's not normal. We don't have fancy choirs and all the accoutrement that, you know, the big, you know, we just have the truth. We have God. We have Jesus. You know, we have a desire to be in love with Him. That's why you guys are here, because you guys are in love with Jesus. But the one whom loves his soul loses it, and he who hates his soul in this world will keep it to everlasting life. So everyone that serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. And if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So it's everything that Jesus always says is contrary to human nature. If you try to save it, you're going to lose it. So go ahead and lose it, and then it'll be saved. You're like, but when you understand that, you're like, man, that makes so much sense. Thank you, Father, for that revelation. So because you're usable. I've had people that worked for me in the past, and they were horrible. I mean, they could do the work, but they were horrible because they had their own will. I said, this is the way we do it. Well, I think this way is better. I don't care what you think. This is the way we do it. And they were hard to work with. They were stubborn. And I'm like, I've been doing this for 30 years. I know what works best. Well, I think, I'm like, you've been doing this for 2 weeks. I've been doing this for, you know, that's God. God's like, just trust me. I've been doing this for ever. So it's like, yeah, I quit. God, you're right. Whatever your deal is, I'm going to do it. You know better than me. I can only see what my finite brain has had in my 47 years. That's it. That's all. I mean, I've got a lot of wisdom. I've been around 47 years. That's a lot of wisdom. It's a lot more than my daughter, who's 4, has. But God's been around for forever. His wisdom is far beyond mine. So why wouldn't I just trust Him? Because He's already proven that He is not out to get us. And that's sad, because a lot of the church thinks God's out to get him. If I don't do good, God's going to get me. I have to do good so that God will bless me. No, God never said that. You will be blessed if you do good. Why? Just because it just is. I mean, if you do good, actually, you may even be beat up for it. You know, I mean, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and they wanted to kill him. Because some people are just that way. That's just what I'm saying. Is the world is so vast. You just have to go. You can't figure it all out. People who rule are always trying to force things. They just keep making more and more laws and keep putting more and more oppression on people. And do they get better? No. You just make more criminals. They don't become better. You didn't change their heart. People are designed to fall in love with God, and that's the only thing that's going to change your heart. Because everything else is just fear and obligation. And my soul is troubled, and what may I say? Father, save me out of this hour. But on this account, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came out from heaven. I both glorify it, and again, I will glorify it. So it's like, we don't want to go through trials. It's awful. But if you're like, God, if that's what it takes, send it. Bring it on me. Because your will is better than my will. And that's hard, because Jesus had to die. So, then a voice, and then standing and hearing, the crowd said that thunder occurred. And others said, an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice has not occurred because of me, but because of you. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out, and if I be lifted up from earth, I will draw all to myself. So, it's going to take the keys away from Satan. All right, Satan, you had your turn. You didn't do very well. I already ruined your plan. It's only been 4,000 years and I ruined your plan. It gave him a long time. I mean, if you can't do it in 4,000 years, it's probably not going to happen. You know, and he's still even trying. That's why I'm like, I know Satan knows the Bible. Does he not know he loses? It's like, why are you still trying? If I knew I was going to lose, I'd be like, all right, I quit. But he's still trying. I'm just like, Satan, golly, give up, man. You lose. But he said this, signifying by what kind of death he was about to die. The crowd answered, we heard out of the law that the Christ remains forever. And how do you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus said to them, yet a little while, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, and that darkness not overtake you. And the one walking in the darkness does not know what he is doing. While you have the light, believe into the light that you may become sons of the light. It's good. I mean, we're born in darkness. And then when you get Jesus in you, I mean, it's like, it changes your life.
We're going to take off today.
Okay. You guys be blessed. I don't know if they can do everything correctly in Fort Worth. I tried to tell him how to do things, but it may fall apart. So, and Jesus spoke these things, and going away was hidden from them. So it's like, I always think we think we can help God. I mean, there's so many times when Jesus was about to get in trouble, and the disciples were like, oh, we got to step in and help God. And then, you know, Jesus is walking through a crowd and he just disappears. It's like, man, God wants us along for the ride. He wants us there. We think we can do it for him. It's like, no, he doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our help, but he wants us there with him, doing it with him. It's like a dad building something. I don't need my daughter's help, but it's fun to have her there helping me. Yeah. No, but I don't need her help. I mean, she's it's more of a not help, you know, but he's still, I still want her there.
Yeah.
It's a joy to me.
Yeah.
You guys.
Bless you guys.
Bye.
And though he had done so many miracles before them, they did not believe unto him. So that the word, so, I mean, their hearts were that hard. So that the word of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he said, Lord, who has believed our report? And the arm of the Lord to whom was it revealed? Because of this, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and has hardened their hearts, that they might not see with the eyes and understand with the heart and be converted, and I should heal them. So Isaiah said these things when he saw his glory and spoke about him. Still, however, even out of the rulers, many did believe unto him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing, and they not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory of men more than the glory of God. It's funny, I was watching this video on evolution. By the way, if you guys believe in evolution, don't. It's garbage. And they said there's so many scientists who do not believe in it, but they're so afraid to say anything, because even if they say the word intelligent design, they still get blacklisted, and they can't do any. They lose their job, they lose their grants and everything. And it's like so most of the scientists don't believe in evolution, but they are so scared to say anything that they don't. And so then the other people say, well, everybody believes in it. It's like, no, they're just afraid to say anything because they'll lose their job. They'll lose their living. They can't support their family. And it's horrible. Mary goes, that's how we were taught. I'm like, because it blows my mind, because I went to a private school and we learned that evolution was a theory, but we didn't learn anything about it. They just said, it's a theory that some people believe. But you find out it's like most, even Christians, they believe it. They're like, it doesn't line up with the word. Well, yeah, but no, it doesn't line up with the word. First of all, it was created by a man who hated God, who was a racist, which I don't believe in racism. I just believe in hate. I just use that word because it makes sense to people, because we're all one race. We're the human race. Amen. Just different amounts of melanin in our skin.
Right.
Amen. Right. That's right. It's just hate. Yeah. I mean, it's like when you go to, you know, people say, well, homosexual. No, you're just a fornicator. That's a word. It's a man-made word to describe what you're doing. It's just fornication. Right. Go back to what God said it was. It's hate. It's fornication. It's just sin. Yeah. You just want to do your own thing. And God's like, okay, do your own thing. You know, people are always, that's why people hate Christians. They're like, well, you're judging me for being who I am. I'm like, I got my own junk to deal with. I don't have to worry about yours. I'm not interested in your dumb sins. It's like, I know there are, I mean, I used to be so naive to think that all Christians were great, but I know there are many that are jerks. And they will judge people, and, you know, they're not loving. You know, like when something bad happens to somebody, they just condemn them more, like I said at the beginning. You can't. You got to love people. You don't turn people's hearts by beating them over the head. Nobody. There's a meme that goes around, and it just, nobody ever calmed down by saying, calm down. Calm down. And you're like, I will not calm down. You know, so. You got to do it in love. That's why Jesus always did it in love. I mean, he always went to the, I mean, when he went to the, against the religious people, it was never in love. I think he was just having fun with those guys, but with the people that were hurting, it was always in love. He just went to them and he loved them and he shared with them, and they were immediately just, their mind was changed, because this is supposed to be a religious guy, and he's not beating me up. He's not condemning me for what I've done and who I am. He's saying, I love you. I want to give you a gift. That's not what religious people do. They go, be good. My mom would say, I did homeschooling for a while, and she'd be teaching me. She'd just, think. I'm like, if it's not in there, it's not in there, Mom. So, I mean, that's probably my own fault. I probably just wasn't paying attention, but... Oh man, that's awesome. I'm going to read that again. So, but Jesus cried out and said, "The one believing into me does not believe." And Jesus cried out and said, "The one believing into me does not believing into me, but into the one sending me." So, believing what God said. You know, if you believe me, it's because you believe the guy that sent me. And there was one seeing me, sees the one whom sent me. And I have come as the light, you know, because remember, Jesus is God. I was thinking about this the other day because I was leaving to go to a job and I was kind of mad because I saw some Jehovah's Witnesses driving down the street. I was like, dang it, I have to go to work. I'd love to fellowship with those people. This destroys everything. There's two passages in the Bible that will destroy the whole Jehovah's Witness deal. Yeah. The very first verse in the Bible, in the beginning, God. Yeah. It's not one God, it's God plural. I mean, it's not plural, but it's plural.
Yeah.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then John, first part of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Destroys their whole thing. And they actually reinterpret it. I mean, if you get one of their Bibles, it's reinterpreted. You're like, no, that's, you can't do that. You can't change it to fit your deal. So anyway, I have come as a light into the world, that everyone who believes into me may not remain in the darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come that I might judge the world, but that I might save the world. Remember, the Father's going to do the judging. And the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has that judging him. So the word which I spoke that will judge him in the last day. For I did not speak of myself, but he who sent me, the Father. So, I'm going to keep going. He has given me command that I should say what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. So Jesus is speaking everlasting life. And therefore, what things I speak as the Father has said to me, so I speak. So that's interesting. So like that's where I wrestle with healing. When I pray for healing, because when Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father in heaven doing. So it's like if you go to somebody and you go, be healed. Yeah, but if God didn't say that, then that's just you. So you got to go, God, how do you want me to pray for this person? This is probably my own weird imagination. You know, my eyes are junk right now. And I think that God will heal them. And I've prayed for him to be healed. And I believe God has said to me, I have somebody that I want to pray for you that will heal him. It's not any of you guys. I already know who it is. because I want glory in that. And I'm like, okay, good. So hopefully it's not my own imagination. If it is, so be it. Mary has said on multiple times, you didn't hear God on that. I'm like, yeah, you're probably right. I am human. you know, sometimes our own desires can overrule what we, I think God said. I'm tired of my eyes being junk. It's no fun. So any of you guys who've had glasses forever, I'm sorry. It's awful. But you know, God, the reason we spend time with God is to hear him. And when we hear him, then we can do what he says. And we do it out of love. We do it because we love him. We're in love with him. It's easy. It's not a burden. Because it can be. You know, when you're a young Christian, when you're a new Christian, everything's exciting to do for God because it's just all new. And then as you become a more mature Christian, then it's you get like, God, I'm tired of doing your thing. All it does is wear me out. These people want stuff from me all the time. And it's just, I'm tired. I can't do it. And then when you fall in love with him and you realize that he's taking all the burden, then you're like, oh, I was doing it in my own strength. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I did it in my own strength and I didn't let you do it. And then when you let him do it, you're like, well, I could do this forever. I just never run out of energy because it's you doing it through me. And that's powerful. So I hope you guys are there. If not, we're going to get you there. Because that's where it is. I mean, it's peace. It's joy. It's awesome. I mean, it's what God intended. It's what God intended from the beginning. You could say from a man's standpoint, it was a little hiccup. You know, the little 4,000 years before Jesus came was a kind of a hiccup, but it wasn't. It wasn't. It's good. God got to show his love and mercy and grace and kindness and omniscience and wonderfulness through that 4,000 years where, you know, man was goofing off till Jesus came back and saved him. So I'm gonna stop there. But remember, God, I'm just going to stop there. God is good.
Hallelujah. Amen.
If you know anything, just know he loves you and that he doesn't want you to be burdened. So if it's a burden, it's not God. Because God's yoke is easy and his burden is light. So, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.